Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy
What's
this
up,
podcast.
Every Nation, good morning. Happy Sunday to you. Hope you have your coffee. You're ready to get into God's Word. How cool is this online church? I can't begin to tell you what a blast I had last week just seeing all the comments going back and forth on Facebook Live. I want to just fill you in a couple things, state the obvious. We're not at our church facility. We're practicing our social distancing like everyone else. And so we're shooting it from my sunroom slash office. And so if you hear weird noises or dogs barking, that's just my crew here at the birdhouse. I had someone text in that they thought that my space here looked extremely narrow, and that's because it is. Please pray for me, all right? And wanted to just remind you of a couple things. One is this. Did you know, like, what an amazing platform this is that you have the opportunity to be digital evangelists? It's my new favorite word, digital evangelists, that right now, just by hitting the share button on your Facebook, that you can send this message out to friends, family, and you're actually fulfilling God's great commission, God's mission for your life to go into all the world and spread the gospel. So how cool is that? If you're not going to share, maybe send us a like or something as well. We just love hearing all the comments going back and forth during service. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but please go ahead and text during service. All right. And so that's going to be amazing. I want to remind you as well that if you have any needs whatsoever, prayer requests, any way we can serve you during this time of need, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can text into our web address or email us. Please let us know how we can serve you best. And lastly, I just want to send out a quick reminder that you can remain faithful and your tithing and your giving during this time. Despite the fact we can't be a church to collect up tithes and offerings, that you can still be faithful. And here's the great news. You know, the promise of God is this, that if you honor God, in other words, you make him first place, that God will honor you. That's a good place to be in these uncertain times. Let me read a quick verse for you. For some of you old schoolers, you might remember this. It's about a character by the name of Jabez. The name Jabez means pain. Do any of you have like weird names that mean something weird? You know, the name Adam, when you really boil it down, it means dirt. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But Jabez, his name was pain because he was given forth in birth. He was birthed in pain, and all the moms said amen. But his life was marked by pain. But we learned something about Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, starting in verse 9. It says this, that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. But Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. I want to repeat that. God granted what he asked. See, if you are faithful, it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, that he honored God, put God first, and God honored him and answered Jabez's prayers. And so I just want to remind you, you can give on our website by going to encnj.org, hit on the giving icon, or you can give via text on our PushPay platform. You just text ENCNJ to 77977. I can't believe I got that right. Lastly, if you're just right old school check, you can just mail in your check to our usual church address. And so God bless you as you give. And now it's time to get into the Word of God. Is that cool? I hope so. Little drink of coffee here, and then we're going to crank it open. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5, but before we go there, I got to fill you in about Mark chapter 4. And so Jesus is going to take the entire chapter, and he's going to speak parable after parable to his disciples, and he's going to talk about the seed. He's going to talk about that the kingdom of God is like a sower who sowed seed. Some fell on good ground, some stony ground, some thorny ground. He's going to talk about that the kingdom of God, it's like a seed, and it grows. We don't know how, but it just does. And more importantly, in chapter 4, he says this, and I don't know if we can see this. I don't even know. It's so small, but this is a mustard seed. You can barely see it to the naked eye. And this little seed, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. It starts unbelievably small, but when it grows into fertile soil, it becomes this enormous tree that blesses the world. He's going to say this, that, you know, that faith, the size of this mustard seed, it can move mountains. It can absolutely change your circumstances. And so the disciples, when they hear this parable about the mustard seed, they're like, yeah, Jesus, we're with you. Mustard seed faith. We got it. And it's funny, the very next scene in Mark chapter 5, the disciples get into a boat with Jesus. He said, we're going to the other side. And on that boat, a storm kicks up. And it's amazing because a lot of these disciples, they were fishermen. They were used to the weather and the elements and the water. And yet they were terrified. And what's Jesus doing? He's snuggled up in the front of the bow of the boat having a nap. And so they wake Jesus in a terror and in a panic. They said, don't you care, Jesus, we're going to die. And Jesus does two things. Number one, he rebukes the storm. Quiet! And then he's going to rebuke someone else, his disciples. He says, where's your faith at? You didn't even have the faith of a mustard seed. Didn't I tell you we were going to the other side? Swing and a miss by the disciples. Then we go to scene two. They actually get across the Sea of Galilee. And the first person they run into is a naked man possessed by 5,000 demons. And so this crazed man is running towards Jesus. And the funny part about the narrative, do you know we never hear from the disciples the entire time? So I'm guessing they're hiding out in the boat all that time. Don't worry, Jesus is going to cast the demons out of this guy, and this guy's going to become a follower of Christ. Scene three, they get back into the boat. They head back to the other side, and as they're approaching land, there's a crowd, almost a mob, waiting to receive something from Jesus. And we're going to meet two people that we're going to talk about this morning, and they are going to display faith in action. We're going to see one guy by the name of Jairus, and Jairus, and he's going to demonstrate that faith, it's a choice. And then we're going to meet a woman. We don't even know her name, but we know she has an issue of blood, and she's going to show us this, that faith fights back. Faith fights back. And so this is where we're headed. So get your coffee, and here we go. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21, it says this. It says, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. And then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Here's where I want to begin. A few observations as we dive into this text is, I'm sure many of you remember Where is Waldo? It was actually created by a guy by the name of Martin Hanford. And you remember what it is. They would put this character Waldo in this scene that was just mobbed with all these other characters. And the job was to find out where was Waldo. It was designed to get children to identify wonder in places they wouldn't normally look for it. And I don't know if you've seen recently, but they have a new COVID-19 edition of Waldo. And I think it should be coming up on your screen now. And we can see that there's Waldo and about four other people because everyone's socially distanced from each other. And it's not too hard to find Waldo in that scene. And, you know, I think that really speaks to where we're at right now as a culture, as a people, is that for the longest time, life had gotten so busy and so hectic that everything seemed to crowd out God And if we were honest, we would struggle and grope to find, try to find moments with God in our daily lives. But now all of that has changed, hasn't it? The life has slowed down and there's this newfound desperation. I gotta get to God. That God suddenly moved up on the list of priorities and importance. You know, Psalm 34, verse 18, it says this, that God is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to the brokenhearted. And so I heard this saying, and I really find it to be true, is this. If faith is the goal, then difficulty is an advantage. If faith is the goal, then difficulty becomes an advantage. And here's what that means. It's like faith is the goal of our lives. It says this, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we want to have faith, trust, belief in God. But a lot of times we're just not desperate enough to get to that point in our life. But there's times when difficulty or life hits, that things become hard. And it's in those moments that suddenly that gooey middle ground is done away. And we really are left with two stark choices. That when difficulty comes, you can just say, forget you, God, and go on your way. Or you can have desperate faith and you cling to God, your Savior, in these moments. See, because desperate faith is dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, and it's powerful in your life. And so we see Jairus, he is a desperate, desperate man. I know we're all going through a lot with the COVID-19, and there's just fear and some things going on in the atmosphere. But this guy, his daughter, is at the point of death. Now, as a daddy of daughters, man, that I can't think of anything worse. We had a dear friend, some friends of ours this past week, they had to put their son in the ground. And as dark as COVID-19 is and our situation is, nothing's darker than that. And so we see Jairus, he was in deep need. And what's interesting is, you know, the name Jairus, it means the one who God enlightens. In other words, that God is giving light into dark spaces in Jairus's life. And so I don't know if you know this, but it's what God does. It's kind of the job description when you're the creator of all things, that God is constantly speaking light into dark spaces. He's done it from the beginning. Genesis 1, what does he do? He just speaks, light be, bam. And light has been pushing back darkness since the beginning of time at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. And there's never been a moment when darkness has pushed back and won. Light always pushes back the dark. And I think it's interesting that Jesus, he refers to himself as this. He says, me, I am the light of the world. You know, he has another name that he goes by is this, that Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So I've made it no secret that we're dog people at Every Nation New Jersey, and I can already see Viola and Laura all up in arms about their cats, but I'm not going to have any of that. But you can keep texting me the ridiculous pictures and videos of your cat. But we're dog people, but I'm going to give you your moment here. Because as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, did you know that lions, they hunt mainly at night? And so they have amazing vision. I believe I heard it said that they can see in the night 8 times better than you and I. So it's almost like they have these night goggles that they wear, and they can see. And if you notice too, if you look closely at a lion, there should be a picture coming up on your screen, I hope. We'll see how technology does. But there's these white spaces underneath the lion's eye, and it's in order to reflect as much light as possible, to reflect maximum light into dark situations. And I think now, more than ever, that we as Christ followers, that we need to see through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that we need to take in and reflect the maximum amount of light possible. And so we need to ask God, Lord, give me eyes to see all that's good and right in a very dark situation. I know I asked the Lord for that this during this time of COVID-19, and He's answered my prayers, because in this very dark time, I was very pleased to see that Tom Brady has gone to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so the evil empire of the New England Patriots is beginning to crumble to the glory of God. Back to our text. Mark chapter 5, let's read verses 25 to 34. It says this in verse 25, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. You're going to love this woman. Verse 26, "And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I just touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, the power of faith, it immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" And so here's what I want us to see about this amazing woman. Again, we don't even get her name, but here's what I love about her. Is she's going to teach us that faith fights back. Faith fights back, always. This woman was a beast. Like when life was pushing against her, she was pushing back in faith. She had to fight through the crowd. She had to fight to grab a hold of Jesus. How about this? She had to fight to get up again. 12 years of trying everything and failing and pick yourself up again and again and again. And here's what, see, it's the spirit of faith inside of this woman, because faith, it fights back. I played in the NHL for 14 years, and I don't know if you know this, but I mean, to play in the National Hockey League, it's the top 1% of players in the entire world. And unless you think I'm bragging like I thought I was good, let me just be honest with you. I wasn't good. I made the NHL not because I was a good hockey player, but because I taught myself to get up again and again and again. My dad was the first hockey coach I ever had. And what's funny is I was so bad, but I guess, I mean, if it's your kid that's the worst player, I'm guessing you can't cut him from off your hockey team. And so my dad told me this. He said, "Son, you were a horrible skater. You kept falling down. But here's what I noticed about you." He says, "You always got up again." And really, that's the story of our life. I can recall moments seeing my dad look down at me as I fell. And he would say these words to me: "Come on, son. It's time to get up. Come on, son. It's time to get up." And you know, that's what God's saying to us in this moment. You might be exhausted of picking yourself up again, but your Heavenly Father is speaking that word to you. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. It's time to get up again. And I pray that you'd hear those words. And so I've had this saying, if you want to win in life or in faith, whoever gets up the most wins. And that's just how it goes. And so I pray that we're a get up again people. If I can quote the great prophet Mike Tyson, he says this. He says, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And so my question to you is, when you're punched in the mouth by a sinful Genesis 3 broken existence, when life punches you in the mouth, do you have the faith and the fortitude that rises up in you to punch it right back? My daughter, she got me this gift a couple years ago to put on my desk, and I love it. It says this: "Punch today in the face." Come on, that's a great daughter right there. And that's a girl who's got the spirit of faith on her life. And listen, I know it. I got that inner whiner inside of me. You know that horrible voice that says, "Oh, but it's hard, Pastor, to believe God. It's hard to have faith for my job. It's hard to have faith for my health. It's hard to have faith for my family or for my finances. All these things, it's just so hard. Of course it's hard. That's why it's called a fight. And that's what I want to tell everyone. If you're finding it difficult to fight the fight of faith, you're doing it right. You are doing it right. And so here's what I love is this girl. She just kept getting up again. And she, when life hit her, she would hit life back. And she reaches out her hand with the fist of faith. And she grabs hold of Jesus' garment. And here's what I know about her. That Jesus says this, that it's your faith that has made you whole. See, because faith always fights back. Now let's go to Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 35. It reads like this. It says, that while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Verse 37, and he allowed no one to follow him except for Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. And taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. And so here's the second point I wanted to give us is this, is that faith fights back. But here's what we learned from Jairus is this, is that faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. You remember the reports that came flooding in immediately. She's dead. You're too late. There's no hope. Why bother Jesus? And here's what you need to hear. It is never, ever too late for Jesus. Never too late for Jesus. You know, there's another instance where people said, hey, Jesus, you're too late. It's in John chapter 11, and it's the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, along with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus grew ill. He got sick and died. They put him in the grave, and it was 4 days until Jesus, the Son of God, showed up on the scene. And everyone began to wail, Jesus, you're too late. If you had been here, and listen, Jesus had to set the record straight. I don't know if you know this, but the name Lazarus, it means one who God helps. And Lazarus was going to get help from his friend Jesus, despite the fact that he'd been in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus, he tells the crowd at the gravesite, he says, roll away the stone. And their reply was, hey, we can't do that, Jesus, because he's going to stink. It's going to smell. He was in the grave for 4 days. After 3 days, decomposition would begin to set in and the place would begin to reek. But Jesus said, roll away the stone. And here's what we know happens is he wasn't going to stink, but rather he had his grave clothes and Lazarus walks out of the grave. He says, remove the grave clothes. If you're familiar with the way the Jewish, how they would wrap people in grave clothes, they would anoint the body in oil, in myrrh, and frankincense. And so when they peeled the grave clothes off of Lazarus, he didn't stink. He smelled of frankincense and of myrrh. And so if you know what those fragrances are, do you know that myrrh was the anointing oil of the high priest of God? And that frankincense, it was the incense they used and they burned in the temple. So Lazarus didn't stink. He smelled of Jesus. He smelled like Jesus. And I want to tell you something. You that are going through this pandemic, this COVID-19, and people are expecting you to your life to stink, that you're going to stink of fear, stink of despair. No, you're not, because you're a child of God, and it's never too late with Jesus. And you're going to smell, you're going to have the aroma and the fragrance of Jesus Christ, because it's never too late for Jesus. It's going to go on here, and it's going to say this, that Jesus is going to tell Jairus, he's going to tell him this: don't fear, just believe. Don't fear, just believe. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, it says this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, it says the Spirit of God will hold up a standard. And so a lot of that doesn't mean anything to you and I, but if you're familiar, that's war language. And then what would happen is the standard would be held up, this enormous flag that would signal to the troops that we're to charge, we're to move forward, we're to advance. And so it says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that our God is holding up a standard, and he's telling us, advance. We're going to move forward. We're going to take a step of faith. And so Jesus says, don't fear. He says, just believe. Take a step of faith, because faith is a choice. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say that you need to feel faith. He didn't say that. He just said you need to believe. And listen, belief isn't a feeling. Belief is a choice. And so you can choose faith as an act of your will. You might not feel like it, but Jesus didn't ask us to feel like it. He said just to choose it and to believe it. And I want to tell you this, through this COVID-19 thing, I'm choosing to believe God. I choose to believe him. Listen, I've been lied to a lot in my life. Any of you? Come on, you can type in who's lied to you in your life. I'll tell you this, my emotions have lied to me before. Come on, we've all got that text message, and we read it one way out of the filter of our emotions, and we were dead wrong. Well, that was just me. I tell you this, I've had my kids have lied to me before. No, Daddy, I didn't eat the chocolate bar, as they're wiping the chocolate off of their face. And I'll tell you this, that I've been lied to, that I've lied to me. In fact, I've done it twice this week. I've told myself I'm going to go for a run outside, and have yet to do it. Liar. Listen, there's only one person I can point to that has never lied to me, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus says this. It says that it's impossible for God to lie. And so I choose to believe Jesus. And I pray during this COVID-19 that you choose to believe Jesus. Listen, here's something else. We see that Jairus, he gets to choose who he listens to. Jesus is going to choose who's in his sphere and who's in the spiritual atmosphere he's allowing into his life. Did you catch it? It says that Peter, James, and John got to go in with Jesus, and all the other disciples got left outside. I think that's so crazy. Like Peter, he's called the Rock. James and John, they're called the sons of thunder. And so when we need to believe for big things from God, we need to bring in the big guns to speak faith into our life. Listen, Peter was a knucklehead often in his life, but he was also called the Rock. That James and John, they missed it time and time again, but they were also called the sons of thunder. And they believed, they're like, hey, God, you want us to call down fire from heaven? Peter's saying, if you tell me to, Jesus, I'll walk on water. And so they had big faith. And so Jesus invites them in and tells the other disciples, no, you're going to wait outside. Listen, there's a time for Thomas, doubting Thomas. There's a time to ask questions, but now's not the time, because we're in a fight of faith. Listen, there's a time for Judas to be in the equation, and he was a thief. And there's grace to sinners and things like that. But Jesus says, not this time. You stay outside, Judas, because I'm in a fight of faith. It's not time for Matthew, the tax collector, to come into the room. No, Matthew, you stay outside, because I need people that are going to speak faith and life into this situation. Now's not the time, because it's a fight of faith. Who are you choosing to allow into your world? My prayer is, and I'm hearing it all throughout the weeks, that our connect groups, our small groups of people are gathering together virtually via Zoom or conference call, and they're speaking life and hope into one another. And that's the atmosphere for big faith to thrive. And so I want to see this other point, so that faith doesn't deny what's true. It simply chooses truth. Don't mix that up, okay? So faith doesn't deny what's true. It simply chooses to believe truth. And so I don't know if you read in our text that we read, notice that there was a discrepancy, that the people said that this little girl is dead, but Jesus, he said it different. He says, no, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And so when there's a discrepancy of opinions, I'm going to go with the one who tells storms to be quiet, that heals blind's eyes and tells the lame to walk. I'm going to put my vote for what that guy says. And so get this, we as Christians and faith people, we don't deny what's true, but we choose to focus on and believe truth. And Jesus said, my word is truth. The word of God is the truth by which we live our life. And in case you're wondering who won the discrepancy, truth, the word of God, will trump what's true always. And here's what we see what happens. Jesus goes to the little girl. He grabs her hand and he whispers in her ear, little girl, wake up. And she gets up again. See, faith is a choice. And we see that Jesus had the last word. It's a word of faith. And here's my last word for us. You know, the coronavirus, I'm not sure if you're familiar or heard how it got its name. It's the word corona. It's actually Latin for crown. It's because when you look at it microscopically, it looks like it has all these, the shape of a crown on it. And it's been a cruel dictator, hasn't it? That this coronavirus, just as some evil dictator king, is just preaching doom and gloom and despair, not just to our nation, but to the world. But I got good news for you, because there's another king, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his message to you and to me is this: I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us abundant life, and I choose to believe that King, and that's the one I'm following. Here's what I want to do for us as we close. I mentioned at the start of our church service about this guy named Jabez, and I want to share with you, I want to pray the prayer of Jabez over your life today. And Jabez, I don't know if you're familiar with his lineage, but his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was this guy by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had this moment with God. It says where he actually wrestled with God. He grabbed hold of God and he said this: I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Sounds like he had the spirit of faith on his life. And it's in that spirit that I prayed this prayer over us as a church and as a people and over your life right now. Oh God, oh that you would bless us and enlarge our borders, and that your hand might be with us, and that you would keep us from harm. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.